Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description.
Previously on Three of Hearts. Agents Vellum and Felspar discovered that they and their friends were wanted for breaking into Stoneloft. Vellum magicked up some disguises so the two could meet up with Jack's friend, the giant Gladia. Safe in Gladia's home, the party worked out more of the puzzling magic controlling Stoneloft. Namely, that Providence and Pandemonium grant purposefully imperfect wishes so that their followers will always be in need of them to make their lives better. This frustrating revelation could be a useful tool, however, as many of the agent's friends and enemies alike remain enthralled by the duplicitous deity waiting to be set free.
Everyone, welcome to Three of Hearts, a podcast about four dads from our world who get trapped in the Forgotten Realm and have to rescue their lost sons.
Uh-huh.
It is not a BDSM podcast.
Yep.
I think everything you just said was wrong.
It is a podcast where BDSM has come up. But so is Dungeons and Daddies, to be fair.
Yeah.
And they keep their claim.
And importantly, I think we have zero dads. There are no dads on this podcast.
That is one of the differences.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. Oh my god, that's so true. There's Graham. But he's a bad one.
He's a bad one. So he doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He got his dad license revoked.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think about dads.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. That this is the it's been 2 months we've recorded Three of Hearts energy that we're bringing today.
Mm-hmm.
We are all just sitting in Gladia's living room, which has furniture of several sizes. I'm going to say as we pick up, Gladia has made everyone some like snacks. They have like a giant loaf of bread, and they cut off like a huge chunk of it for them for themselves,
mm-hmm.
and then they leave someone with smaller and more delicate hands to cut the bread for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, I would say, like pudding.
Are we talking like a British pudding or like a dessert pudding that we think of in the States?
Like a bread pudding, like a tapioca pudding,
like a dessert pudding.
Okay,
I'm just thinking of really low effort things that Gladia could have just pulled out of the fridge and pantry, basically.
Mm.
Yeah. So everyone is sort of just processing information. What are Vellum and Spar doing?
I don't know that we have slept in like 30 hours again.
Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. That's not true. You guys slept in the... It wasn't great sleep, but you guys slept in the back room Arms of Alma place. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we slept in shifts. Okay.
So that was, that was pretty recently.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So in that case, Spar, finishes making notes in his little detective notebook. All right. Seems like next up is Josepha. Who's coming with me?
We come as a pair.
Nods at Vellum.
Ishbala would raise her hand and say, actually, no, she wouldn't raise her hand, it's a fucking classroom. Ishbala would say, hey, or would say, hold on, I'm getting into Ishbala.
Mm-hmm.
Put on.
I have some information. Yeah?
Sorry, I was going to make a dumb joke.
Okay. Consider it made.
Okay.
Ishbala says, I have some information that may be of use if you're going to the Gatineau estate, but I want to talk with the two of you privately before I divulge it.
Okay.
Vellum nods.
She looks around at the seven other people in the room, if you count Odious Rex's people, which you should.
Mm-hmm. Presumably Gladia has other rooms, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So let's step into a different room.
Okay. You... Gladia lets you into a zero bedroom,
mm-hmm.
which, unlike the living room, does not have, accommodations for other sized people, so there's really nowhere for you to sit here. I mean, there's a very large bed that you could get into with some struggling. I don't know that you'd do that. But it's an option.
No.
Okay. Giants are about 3 times as tall as the average, like a tall human, because they're about 18 feet tall is kind of their average height. So, I do imagine everything is just like 3 times scale. Just throwing that out there. Hila, you mentioned actually you wanted to retcon Vellum's disguise. Do you still want to do that?
Yeah, so after we finished recording the last ep, I realized that I could have made Vellum look like Greaser Vellum, and I really liked that idea. So I don't know if retcon is right, but basically I think whatever disguise you would like to imagine Vellum in, you're free to. If you want to draw cool fan art of Vellum, I would love to see him in whatever getup. Personally, I think Velvet and Greaser Vellum are both very attractive getups for Vellum that he does not usually wear currently.
Right.
So they would be good disguises.
Yeah. Vellum is in a mysterious disguise until, if for some reason, it becomes necessary to establish what it is, in which case we will do that. Okay, I mean, Essay, is this an appropriate time to make a Schrodinger's cat joke? Because the disguise is in flux until it is observed.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
Thank you. Okay. Each bottle sort of leans against the bed.
Spar is flustered no matter what the disguise looks like.
yeah, for sure. And so are we. Each bottle leans against the bed a little bit and is just sort of like scrutinizing the two of you and says, I want to trust both of you because I think this will all be a lot better if I can. You know, we are in a precarious situation. Certainly more than one Scales agent should be tackling by herself. In the weird alternate memory that I experienced, we worked for Suits, as y'all have identified yourself, correct?
Correct.
I have two questions about what I remember of all that. The first is Skulls. Those delinquents were present in your world, and in mine, we locked them all up a long time ago. How does your Suits continue while being so inefficient, I should say, as to allow children to oppose you?
Which delinquents is she talking about?
It's the people from Skulls they were holding, people hostage in the Honey Core in the Body Swap episodes. So she's asking, like, why does Suits allow an organization of evil science children to exist? Because in her world, they just put them all in jail, basically.
I mean, I guess that's better than them just killing them all.
But not great. For the record.
Yeah.
Spar has an answer. Jesse and Spar both have an answer. But so Spar gives Vellum the floor if he wants it. And if not, we'll say they're children. We don't put children in jail. We stop them wherever they show up. And we do what we can to put them on better paths. But you don't lock children in cages, even if they do ill-advised things with lasers.
Ishbala says, well, I do, but...
You don't, but...
She, like, crosses her arms and looks at the floor for a second and looks back up at Spar and says, how do you justify continuing to let dangerous people act?
Everyone's dangerous in the right context.
I think the more ethical choice is to stop harm as it's occurring rather than ending up in the sort of place where you're putting anybody who might possibly do harm in prison.
Ethical, maybe. But then you allow the harm to take place.
Well, no, we're there to stop it. That's sort of the point.
Spar, can you give me presence empathy?
Presence is 2. Empathy is 4, so that's 6. We're cursed, so no healthy.
I'm going to give you +1 for...
sleuthing?
Yeah, it's like not in the exactly right, but because it's each Bala.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of investigating, right? Like,
you're
it's,
right,
it's,
you're right.
It's not flipping investigation, but it feels like that. So that would be 2, 4, 6, 7 total. 3, 4.
Okay.
6, 7. 2 successes, a king and a queen.
Okay.
I'm going to spend 1 drive, make it 3 successes.
Nice! Okay. You definitely see Ishbala chewing on this mentally, not with her big crocodile chompers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be Darla. and, like, just to set the scene, right, like, Spar is, like, staring very intently at her. He's trying to catch her eye, like...
Mm-hmm. She's, like, trying not to meet it, but eventually does.
Yeah, like, he... When it seemed like she was happy, he was sort of willing to, like, let this maybe delusion, maybe alternate universe play out, but knowing that Providence and Pandemonium is fucking with people on purpose, and hearing his Ishbala talk like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This isn't, far. Yeah, this isn't like, I stumbled into a happy alternate universe. This is like, Providence and Pandemonium is turning you into somebody who's not the person I love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when, also with the 3 success empathy, like, you see, like, some amount of shame creep into Ishbala's features as you stare at her, but she kind of goes stoic and says, my other question perplexes me more. You also fought against Dunstan, an enforcer for the Crocodilians. Is that also his role in your world?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm an enemy of the Crocodilians.
Enemy is strong. Not all Crocodilians are part of Claudio's enterprise, though his enterprise is mostly Crocodilians.
Mm-hmm.
People are people. It's not easy for you to be part of Suits. It's not a natural fit. It was upsetting to your family. But it's not like Suits is crusading against Crocodilians. It's just sometimes we have conflicting aims.
Can you give me charm persuasion?
Sure. Charm is 3, persuasion is 4, so that's 7. Can I get 1 for it being Ishbala?
Yeah.
So that's 8. I pulled a Queen of Hearts for 4 successes, plus a Jack for 5 successes.
Wow. Okay. Ishbala says, so I successfully opposed Claudio, is what you're saying, because... joining Suits meant more to me.
Yes.
In my recollections, Claudio... it's Claudio who runs Vasa Natura, whereas the others have settled in Vasa Obscura.
I don't think that would be better than Belladonna, but it sure would be different.
Ah, yes, Belladonna Thorne was deposed for being a tyrant.
Yeah, we're working on it.
It's on the list.
Well, I think she likes that. Every time I mention a list, I do just imagine like a comically long scroll.
Mm-hmm. Smart takes out his little detective notebook and flips back to the part of it that says deposed Belladonna and shows it to Ishbala.
I think her eyes go wide at that and says that you two and I really just, what, fight injustice, fight tyrants, and we do it, like, and she goes, like, she's like, ethically, in air quotes, like, mm-hmm. ethically, almost, like, dismissive. Mm-hmm. And you what, you win?
Well, I mean, that is a bit of a, I wouldn't say necessarily our job is to fight injustice. The job as written is to protect people from magical things and events when they occur, when they are hurting people. And yeah, we do that. We try to do it as justly as we can. We're not cops. We don't arrest people. If there's a way to solve something without fighting, we always do that. If there's a way to make a problem better by giving people resources they don't have or by removing something that is causing them problems, we do that. We try to make the world better, and we win doing that. It's not like, I don't know, it's not deposing Belladonna every day. That's a special occasion, but it's honest work.
Some days it's, you know, removing the eye of Krenoshava.
Each ball nods knowingly, and you can tell that in her recollection, she's definitely dealt with the eye of Krenoshava as well. My family, my immediate family, like my parents, my siblings, they would have to, I mean, I talked about this a little bit with one of you in the dream, like, they put themselves at risk by me working at Suits. They really do that for me?
Have you met your family? They would do anything for you.
And she says, maybe a different and better Ishbala's family would, but not this one. She sighs, and having flipped a Queen of Hearts and another face card to try to snap out of things, you can tell she's really wrestling with it, but that like sort of pink aura appears around her that has given Spar sort of access, and Vellum, like access to people to break them of this in the past.
I think if she will let me, Spar will like hold her by like the upper arm and like look at, like try to get her to look him in the face and say, Ishbala, the better you is the real you. The better Ishbala's family is the real family. Besides, he says, if you don't come back to me, who's going to drive me everywhere?
Ishbala is, like, consumed by, like, a pink glow, like, all throughout her. Mm-hmm. But you can still see her eyes clearly. Mm-hmm. And, then you hear a sound like shattering, and you see a shattering as like basically almost like cracks form along this aura, and one of Ishvala's arms like sort of grabs the other and shoves, and then Ishbala splits into two Ishbalas.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, the world you're pitching sounds lovely, but it isn't real. And she goes and, like, shoves past you all and just starts leaving the building. And the other Ishbala is holding her head and looking woozy.
Is this like Jack, where there was like a physical and a spectral?
Not quite. No, it's like two physical Ishbalas now, and the pink glow is gone entirely.
Okay.
And Ishbala in the room still sort of looks at the two of you and clutches her head, and says, "What the hell just happened?"
Well, that is an excellent question.
You were possessed by Providence and Pandemonium. And instead of listening to me, you decided, I guess, to split into two?
But, I mean, come on, I never listened to you, so that makes a lot of sense.
Good to have you back.
She chuckles, and she actually pulls Spar in for a hug, but then very quickly ends the hug.
Can I flip Arcana to see if I can figure out anything more?
Sure. Give me Intelligence Arcana.
So Intelligence is 4. Arcana is 4. No healthy, but 1 for Eclectic.
Jordan, there are too many characters. Jordan, so I'm going to introduce one more.
This is the problem, is that I don't plan things out ever, and I just do what comes to my brain. Uh-huh. And what my brain said was that there are now 2 Ishbalas.
Uh-huh. All right. What I've got here is an Ace of Hearts and 3 Jacks.
Wow. That's 4 successes. What you get here is less like academic,
mm-hmm.
and more looking into about folklore from actually these very mountains.
Okay.
Magic, as you know, wizards cast it, as Vellum would have studied it, is very it's a science. It's an intellectual and academic pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of, like, I'm just going to have a feeling so strong that something magical happens does happen in your recent experience, but is not, it is honestly sometimes considered like a pseudoscience, like not a real phenomenon.
Right.
But definitely when it comes to, like, talking about gods and, like, folklore and legends, that sort of thing does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely possible that with whatever, like, Providence and Pandemonium has, like, done to this town, it is, like, fractured the barrier between the real and the unreal, like, to the degree that, like, the rules of magic don't really apply anymore.
Cool, great. Love to hear it.
So, like, this sort of idea of someone being so torn in their identity that they literally pair themselves in two to reconcile it doesn't literally make sense, but it's not something that's so wild that you haven't heard it in, like, a fairy tale,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all. That's what I've got for you.
I share that with Spar and Ishbala, mostly because I don't think it's unfair to not tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it may not be comforting, but I think they'd be upset if I didn't tell them about it and I mentioned it later.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
Ishbala goes, "Fuck. That seems that seems quite bad."
Vellum nods. Yeah, the world is,
coming apart.
Yeah. In a lot of ways. But it's on the list, so we'll get to it.
Okay. I don't know how we're triaging the list situation, but I do think this should be near the top.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She grabs Spar's notebook and looks at the list and is like, fuck, almost all of this should be at the top.
Well, we do have a pretty robust group. Do you want to go after yourself and try to either talk to her or bring her in? Do you want to take someone with you?
Heart to heart.
Sort of, yeah, that actually sounds nice. Were you thinking that one, like, the two of you would join me, or what's the plan here?
Well, to be honest, Spar's, like, flipping back and forth from pages and is constructing a new list as it's doing the thing where, like, you know, he flips back and, like, it's, like, crossing stuff off and then transferring what's left over to a new list.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. uh-huh, uh-huh.
I think that focusing on the bigger picture is going to get us farther than putting out little fires as we go.
Mm-hmm. She nods.
If you want to take Nat or Max or Merafina, kind of does like a shrug, to go find yourself. Vellum and I can keep working our way through getting to...
the stamps.
Through getting to, rather than the bottom of this, the top of this, if you will.
Mm-hmm. She nods. Says, that's fair. That's definitely fair. Yes, that sounds good. She thinks for a second. I don't really want to take a stranger on this quest. How do you feel about me borrowing Jack?
Yeah, I think that sounds great.
He's got his collar back, so should be able to communicate well. Yeah.
I don't know if you know Ishwala, but you said that you had something to share with us. Information that would be helpful.
I'm imagining Ishwala has, like, what would she carry stuff in? Probably a briefcase. No, that's far. I think she has, like, a messenger bag. Mm-hmm. She, like, digs through it. And goes, oh, this looks like something. She hands you a... it's almost like a... like the like a greeting card in shape. Mm-hmm. The cover, like the front of it, just says, you're invited. Mm-hmm. And on each corner of the card is a playing card suit.
Mm.
But it opens up.
Mm-hmm.
And so she opens it. It is...
sorry, this is a greeting card, not a cootie catcher?
A greeting card, yeah.
Okay.
She opens it and... a cootie catcher is a great idea, but no, it's not. And...
I'll design one for the Patreon. Okay. That would be really cute. A Three of Hearts cootie catcher.
It would. It really would. She opens it and inside is a bunch of... like arcane symbols, like someone was like drawing out arcane runes, and there's no cute little punny message on the inside. It is just fully across both sides of the inside of the card. Mm-hmm. It's like a bunch of symbols that mean nothing to Ishwala. She throws it to Vellum.
Dang, I should have used my arcana already. Can I flip arcana again?
Yeah, do you want to try to make sense of the card?
Yeah.
This is a little bit more wit arcana because it's about processing new information and not drawing on, like, partially. Like, deciphering what it's trying to say in this card is more wit than intelligence, in my opinion. So, wit arcana.
So, wit is 3, arcana is 4, and I don't get eclectic again, and I don't get healthy. Wheel? Without adding any drive yet, that is 2 kings. What do you think, Essay? Should I push it some?
2 successes is pretty good.
It seems important.
Follow your bliss. I think either way is fine.
Here, I'll be straightforward with you to help you decide. 2 is going to get you enough information to sort of move the story forward, but you're definitely going to be missing information, too.
Mm-hmm.
And...
let me see if I can drive a little bit. Do-do-do-do, what do we got? That's nothing. There we go. Spent 3 drive, and I got the Queen of Hearts.
Nice! What did I give you?
Queen of Hearts is a crit, is 4, so 4 plus the 2 is 6.
6 successes. Holy moly.
I'm also using the Pride Knights deck again, and I nice. Just remembered that the Queen of Hearts has the lesbian flag.
Mm, it appeals to me directly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
okay. 6 successes is fantastic. I'm going to say, Vellum, I think you've seen this kind of thing in school, actually. Back at Silverscale, I believe is what your school was called.
That sounds right.
It was used by students of the Arcane to pass secret messages plan things that might be like parties that might be like against the rules or, ill-advised or, you know, stuff they don't want narcs to know about. Mm-hmm. It essentially like involves translating runes into like what the most basic description of what their spell would be is. And then in those words is going to be like, and they're linked together in kind of groups, and they would like anagram into another sentence. So it's like a very complex and sort of lengthy code.
Okay.
But you have quite a lot of experience with these things. Because of the sort of complex nature of it, it is oftentimes easier to just get the gist of the message and be like, okay, yada, 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 there's a party here at this time, whatever. Which is what you would have gotten on 2 successes. Mm-hmm. But for 6 successes, you are able to the best of your ability, which you're quite confident in, decipher the extent of the message. It's addressed to Graham. Mm-hmm. He ball swiped this while we were at the Arms of Alma Church.
Okay.
Or now the Bridge Church. It's addressed to Graham. It's inviting him to a party at the Gatineau Estate this evening. And it is a meeting of, like, the bridge elite in town.
Mm.
It mentions to definitely keep the details of the party secret. And mentions that they are going to decide what to do with the prisoner from Clovenheart.
Good and great. Vellum tells Spar and Ishbala what it says.
Jordan, do we know who the prisoner from Clovenheart would be?
No.
Okay.
Are we guessing that it's Sorrel, but not certain? Because we know that Sorrel is safe, but unable to really... Well, she was at brunch.
Yeah, you did see someone named Edel in Sorrel's body.
Mm-hmm. And did we see Anya as well? Or we saw a ghost of Anya? It wasn't real
Anya.
We
saw a ghost on. Correct.
Spar shrugs and says, well, maybe it's Arabella and they'll deal with her for us.
Regardless, I think we should probably invite ourselves.
Does seem that way.
Ishbala said, I know we came here quick. Thanks to tomorrow's problem. But we did stay a night in Yueliang, and we did stay a night here. It's possible that someone is here that was in Clovenheart last time we were there.
Mm-hmm. That we don't know that they left.
Correct.
Well, sounds like we'll find out.
Mm-hmm. Great.
It does, doesn't it? She kind of looks at Spar and, like, I mean, this could be a friend. It could be family. Are you still okay with me doing my thing?
Spar kind of blinks at her and is like, the past 2 weeks has been friends and family. It's not that... Honestly... Even if they have Brunhilde or Luna Vella, that's not worse than they've already been captured and imprisoned once this week. I think I'm kind of at a maximum.
My point is that I've been there with you through a lot of that. Are you okay with splitting up for now?
I mean,
I have your back. If you,
yeah, but you have to need it. You have to have your own.
That's fucking deep, bro.
Yeah, well. You know, somebody has to not be possessed around here.
Ishbala does the manly predator handshake with Spar.
Cute.
Yeah, Spar hugs her.
Aw, she hugs back.
He kisses her on the side of the snout and says, go get her.
She nods and goes out to talk to Jack. As we go out to talk to the Mitch.
Hello, Metro. It's been so long.
Good afternoon, morning, or evening, everybody. Welcome to the Metro. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I'm enjoying the episode so far. Are you two enjoying the episode so far?
Yeah.
We never do that.
It's a good episode.
Thanks.
Having fun.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, me too. And
I didn't want to interrupt all the good Ishbala spar time.
Yeah, it was good. It was good stuff. Yeah, I had plans that we were going to go to the Gatineau Estate today and get there, which we still could. But I realized this morning I was like, I want to do some Ishbala stuff. Mm-hmm. And so this is actually, for once, it is going according to plan.
Good.
It's not going according to yesterday's Jordan's mm-hmm. plan. Anyway, my name is Jordan. I am the GM / host / wingman of this podcast, and my pronouns are they, them, and you can find me on social media at Blue Sky, at Jordan Quiverns. Someone new, like someone from this podcast followed me on Blue Sky, so that's the first time it's happened, but it means that this is not in vain.
Hey.
And I'm also on Instagram at Jordan and Quiverns, but the best place to find really any of us online is the Three of Hearts Discord, the link to which is in the description of this very episode. It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a fact yet because I never do. So we're going to pass this along to Essay.
Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Merim Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. You can find me on Tumblr at Citrus and Salt. You can sometimes find me in the Discord when I'm not dying from working and moving, which I don't recommend. And for today, instead of offering a fact sort of off the cuff, Jordan proffered an optional interview style question, which is, what's your favorite movie? And Spars is a musical, as we saw way back in episode one. And it's a musical whose plot is somewhat thin, but the dancing is really, really good in it. And it's about, what's it about? It's about, the Kuminichi. That's why the dancing is so good.
Is it kind of like a kabuki style?
Yes.
Musical?
Kind. If Kabuki was also a musical, yes.
It's like a... Yeah, yeah. Because Kabuki isn't really musical. It's like a... If Kabuki and Takarazuka...
You know what it is? Is it's a... It's a Kuminichi... legend or play that has been translated into a musical.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, that's so
fun.
But
instead of being like ickily appropriative, the Kuminichi were like, we have this story and we would also like to take some of your money. Would you like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
and the absolutely. Filmmakers were like, yeah. Indeed. So it was a story that was proffered, not heisted. Yeah.
Is proffered on your word of the day?
I don't have to tell you nothing. this is the third podcast / game I've been in today. Right. So, you know, I get to mm-hmm. say whatever I want. I've already used up all my words for today. So you get whatever's left over.
Yeah, that's so fair.
Have y'all ever seen any Takarazuka?
I know what that is.
You don't know what that is?
So maybe.
It is a all-female Japanese musical troupe.
Hmm. Mm, no.
It is fantastic and beautiful, and God, it's so queer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it tries to not be queer, but it is so queer. I will send everyone, I'll post them on the Discord too, but I will just spam you with all the beautiful gifts of these women, you know, playing these men and looking all dashing in their cloaks, and it's just, it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of great dancing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. I guess I should introduce myself instead of just continuing to talk about Takarazuka.
Wait, I was going to ask, what's your favorite movie off the dome?
You know, I don't really have a favorite movie. I'm not much of a movie watcher in the first place, and I'm also not much of a rewatcher. If I think of something before the end of the intro, I'll hop back in. But
okay.
Yeah, I don't have one that I know of.
Okay. All right, Ela, it's your turn now.
Okay. This is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I use they and he pronouns. I play Agent Vellum. Today's Agent Vellum fact is when Vellum was young, like, I'm thinking maybe somewhere between, like, 5 and 8. So pretty little. He saw Uncle Gray fix something, and that was part of what inspired him to want to invent and tinker as well. Maybe it was something that improved life. Maybe it was a toy. Maybe he was repairing, like, a little toy train or something that Vellum had. I don't know. But whatever it was, left an impression, and Vellum wanted to be able to do it too. Whether it was improving the lives of others with inventions or bringing small bits of joy from fixing someone's cherished item, like rebinding a favorite book that's been read many times.
No.
That's so cute!
That was a 4:30 a.m. thought brought to you by my insomnia in May.
Beautiful.
Another 4:30 thought in May was, if the Three of Hearts characters played TTRPG, what roles would they have? What roles would they have? What characters would they want to play?
Oh my god. That should be a teaser for next intro, because I feel like that's going to take some time.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about
it. So that's something we could think on for next time.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Ichbala's favorite movie is the first ever widely distributed movie in Bicycle. It is called Fast and the Furious. Mm-hmm. And it is just a non-narrative. It's sort of Bicycle's man riding a horse, except that it's a drag race in Vasa Obscura.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And so, that's her favorite movie, and she's seen it so many times.
I have no idea what Vellum's favorite movie is.
Maybe he's not a movie guy.
Because I think we've established that he's watched musicals with Uncle Gray as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's something him and Spar bond over, is their joy over musicals. But maybe his favorite movie is like a over-the-top kind of cheesy mystery movie.
Okay.
I could see.
Okay.
Do noir movies exist in the 50s? In our fantasy 50s?
In our 50s? I think so, yeah.
I think he might be into that.
Okay.
Does that seem in character?
I like that.
Okay.
There's not a fantasy haze code that led to the creation of noir in the same way that it happened in America, but I do think that just in general, like, gritty noir movies are definitely, like, the gritty detective movies are definitely a thing.
It's either that or it's the film adaptation of Kentucky Friday.
That hasn't been made yet, but it will be, and Wei Sheng is producing it.
Yes.
All right, everyone. We're going to get back to the podcast. I'll see you there. Thank you. Jack have left. I flipped for how their search is going, which will resolve in the future, but I did get 2 successes and a Joker. And I know what the Joker is. The Joker is that Jack is a scent-based finder of people, and he's looking for the same person that he's also next to. And so it's very confuses the whole scent situation.
Yeah, I can see how that would be an issue.
You can't smell magic, and I think that would maybe be helpful, possibly. So,
really, they needed to take Spar, who could hear magic.
Missed opportunity.
I have a mechanical question. Okay. So, what...
Hold on, should I bring Darla back?
No, you should go get Darla.
Yeah, I can channel Darla, it's fine.
Where's she at?
Sorry, go ahead.
Did my flipping empathy do anything? Did those successes count for any... Did they, like... Because I...
Yeah, they...
I was going to say, ahead. I know with Max, it was like successes added up to him being able to like break out of it.
Correct. So I used your successes as like bonus flips for Ishbala, which led to her getting a Queen of Hearts to break out of it. It wasn't, it still was like not enough juice to quite get her through it completely. But you are the reason she was able to break out at all. I did bonus flips equal to the empathy flip that you did. So we're back in the living room, and well, I don't know. Would you have told people that you that there's a party? Like, what's the plan, actually?
I think so. I don't think there's any reason to not just say what we're doing, right? Like, everybody here, we're all working towards the same goal.
Max will say, if it's Bridge Elite, they probably know each other, right? So there's a possibility that getting into the party will be challenging. If you're trying to go in sort of a sneaky way. I don't know what your guys's, you know, what your plan is, but
I assume the card told us what time this party was happening.
Yeah. I say we have about 4 hours till party.
Okay. One thing we can do is we can try to get to Josepha before the party.
That's a pretty good plan, I think. Nat says, if we're going to be surrounded by a bunch of Bridge personnel, I want to go with.
I'd be happy to have
you. In case things go bad. Mm-hmm. But I actually have a question about that. About you, too. So I've been, you know, sort of... Only a handful of people weren't affected by the spell, right? We have Gladia here because of their wedding band. We have the two of you, and we have myself. I believe that Solhalla protected me. We're dealing with the magic of a goddess. Oh, and Merafina. And we're dealing with the magic of a goddess, right? So only a god X could repel that kind of magic.
Right.
Do you two have the protection of a god X?
Why wouldn't we?
I'm just asking.
Like, he's not trying to be abrasive. He's also just like, he doesn't want to give Spar's details away. If right. Spar doesn't want to, because this is kind of his thing to share. So he's, like, just kind of trying to be nonchalant about, yeah, we have protection from a goddess or two.
She raises her eyes at or two or an eyebrow, I should say, not her eyes.
It's kind of a tag team sort of effort.
I see. Well, you don't have to divulge. I'm just, you know, if we're going to be allies, we should know what the other is capable of. She thinks about it and says, I suppose that answer is good enough for me.
My impulse there was for Vellum to reply back with something like, oh, babe, you haven't seen anything yet, and like wink at her. But I don't know if he would necessarily in this context.
Yeah.
But that was, you know, my gut impulse, just to share that with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Conversely, Spars was lady, when I know what I'm capable of, I'll let you know.
Good. Just imagining Vellum swinging from chandeliers. Spar yelling at him to come down.
These Kirby cards are lovely. They're like, there's like not a lot of friction on them. They're very smooth cards, and they slide around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There's something in the name of trust that I want to divulge to you.
Vellum nods.
I don't know how relevant this all is to what we're dealing with.
This sounds familiar.
However, Governor Thorne had intel that Veracity was going to attack Cindershore.
Before the attack took place?
Correct.
She would.
I believe she allowed the attack to happen so that she would have reason to swoop in and impose martial law on Cindershore.
Vellum is like dragging his palm across his face and nodding. Okay. Anything else?
She kind of crosses her arms and says, I hadn't heard the name until today, but that intel, I hadn't heard it again, I should say, came from Graham Whittlesby.
Ah.
So what, you want we should kill him? We can kill him. I'll put it on the list.
I'm just... She kind of chuckles and says, no, I'm not a volunteer. I don't think we should kill anybody.
I am. I'm volunteering.
Okay, got it.
I mean, from what I've seen, he has no redeeming qualities, really.
Yeah, you know, whether he's a scumbag, again, I am technically at this moment a member of the Bramble Guard, and I will probably try to stop you if you try to kill anyone that isn't trying to kill you. However...
But if we could get him... If we could detain him and get him to testify against Belladonna, that could help us bring her down.
That's something interesting. Not that I'm, you know, necessarily fully committed to that yet, but, like, I'm pretty much in it at this point. I'm abetting you two at this point. So, yes, that is true. And she says, I'll be honest, for a second, I was terrified, Vellum, that you were going to say, I think she was saying Agent Vellum, that you were going to say you were going to get him to attack you so that you could kill him. And I was going to be horrified. But I'm glad that you're not what you were saying.
No, I just plan to do it when you're in a different room.
I don't try to get people to attack me. That's his MO, usually. He points to Spar.
And Nat is flipping to see if Spar is joking. S.A., is Spar joking?
Depends. What does she flip?
She got two successes to determine if you're joking.
Unclear. It gives her that Spar's not sure if Spar's joking.
Mm. that sort of like there might be a little nugget of truth to this joke. The more he thinks about it, the more he wonders if he's joking.
It's kidding on the square.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he's joking, you know. We'll see.
We'll see.
If we can't get Graham's testimony, because also, like, would he testify against her? Who knows?
Absolutely maybe, not. He's a coward.
Yeah, maybe we could get Nat to testify. So we'll see.
You know, sometimes men fall out of windows 30 stories up. Happens.
Mm-hmm. It does happen, for sure. It happens a lot more when they're pushed.
Look, the line is, we don't put children in jail. We said nothing about not killing shitty dads.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I think if you two were anti-killing shitty dads, Ishbal wouldn't have switched mm-hmm. sides mm-hmm. or could come over to the extent that she did. So Nat just basically says, I am not letting you two out of my sight. So we're definitely going to the party together. More than we already were.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we are in the alley beside Gladia's house. Z shares an alley with a restaurant. Do you guys remember what it was called? The restaurant where you guys ate, or not where you guys ate. In the Beefy episode, you guys met up in a restaurant that I think was called the Lucky Duckling. It was closed down.
That sounds right. I don't think I have it in this notebook, but Lucky Duckling sounds right.
It may have just been the Lucky Duck.
Ooh, it could have been that. Well, this is the Lucky Duckling. So if that's the Lucky Duck, all the franchises are called the Lucky Duckling. Like, that's the main Lucky Duck, and then these are all the Lucky Ducklings. So this is a Lucky Duckling franchise in Stoneloft. Where, what's this bird's name? Kalinda is... Kalinda is perched on the roof of the Lucky Duckling, and Nat is about to like beckon her down, but then mm-hmm. she turns to the two of you and says, I have a question. I have thought it rude to ask until now, but your guys' eyes are, I would say, fucked up, and no one's commented on it, so I thought it would be rude to comment on. But your eyes are like negative the color they normally are. And nobody seems concerned about that. But I'm concerned about that. What's that about?
Spar shrugs and says, Gothic stuff.
Is it good? Bad?
Bad mostly, but not as bad as other Gothic stuff that we've been through in the past. He looks at his watch. And then just kind of keeps looking at his watch. Oh. And just kind of appears to zone out a little bit. And then remembers he was being asked a question and is like, yeah, it's not contagious.
Oh, I wasn't worried about that.
Shrugs and is kind of like, I'd say it's a net neutral, all things considered.
Okay. Well, what I was going to say is that, you know, Godex magic can impact Godex magic, and I do channel Solhalla's magic, and I can perhaps undo if you've been afflicted with, you know, a hex, a curse, an unwanted blessing.
Spar looks infinitely tired and sort of like scrubs his face with his hands and says, do I have to talk to them?
No. I'll take care of that.
He looks at Vellum, like, sort of raises his eyebrows a little to be like, pros v cons? This is not an out loud. This is a look mm-hmm. of like, what do we want to get another Godex involved here? Do we want to put another one in the mix? Because it would be nice to be less cursed, but...
It would be nice to be less cursed. Is there a downside if this goes wrong? Would we be more cursed?
Nat says, I don't think that's possible.
You don't? How much do you not think that that is not possible?
I've never had an issue with that in the past. Okay. Worst case scenario, I might take on your guys' curse.
Okay. Vellum doesn't say that out loud, but he's like, Okay, that doesn't seem so bad. Mm-hmm.
And Spar and Vellum are like having a like eyebrow based conversation here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Spar nods and says, if you are willing, we would appreciate the attempt.
Vellum nods.
I will say, just in the spirit, just to keep you guys aware, it might burn out my ability to use Solhalla's magic for the foreseeable future. Which could be useful in scrapes, but I can also turn into a bear, which is useful in scrapes.
Is for the foreseeable,
like a day. Two weeks, depending on how much burned out I get.
Okay, so this isn't going to like permanently sever a connection to a goddess that is important.
No. It's gonna make me sleepy. Okay.
He sort of sizes Nat up as if like he's carried her before, and then he nods once firmly.
Okay.
Vellum also nods firmly.
Okay. All right.
Can either of us assist in whatever she's doing?
Yeah. First, I have a question. So you guys have kind of been having an eyebrow conversation. As part of what's going on, you're like, uh-huh. Nat hasn't always been on our side, and therefore, if she's a little bit debilitated, that's not so bad?
No.
Okay.
For Spar at least, is I don't trust Solhalla. Nat seems
got it.
Like we've worked shit out with Nat. Nat and I have a common enemy in Belladonna, so like we're good. But Solhalla goddesses, we don't trust those as far as we can fucking throw those bitches.
Yeah. Got it. Is there a way you can help? I really don't think so. This is pretty much a straight thing between Nat and It's a thing between Nat and Solhalla. So I don't really know how you would help.
I was wondering if Vellum could set up some runes or something to, like, guide or protect magic.
Sure.
Or if Spar could be some kind of almost like an antenna of Godix magic to, like, help her commune more.
I love both of those things. I'm gonna give her 2 extra flips for each of you.
Sure.
Cool.
Hey, that added an extra success.
Yeah.
So, yeah. For 3 successes. So, Nat, I think I've described this before, but Nat's, like, thigh, like armor has, like, a small gap in her right thigh, which is where there's, like, a little sun tattooed onto her there. And that glows with, like, a yellow light, sort of, like, trails up her body and comes out through her hand, and like this continuous stream of magic, and she like gestures for all three of us to do like the put our hands on each other's thing, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go team.
Yeah. And so yeah, the light sort of like her hands on top like trickles down into Spar's hand, trickles down into Vellum's hand, and the light sort of like goes through you, and you feel like a really intense warmth that honestly, like, for Nat is soothing. For you guys, it's probably, like, you guys are sweating a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Is Solhalla mm-hmm. yellow?
Solhalla is yellow.
Okay.
They are the goddess of the sun and potential. 2 things which are obviously yellow.
Mm-hmm.
The light overcomes you. You guys sweat a little bit, and you sweat out the curse. When the light fades, your eyes are back to normal, and you are no longer cursed, so you guys can get your healthy flips.
Yay!
Yay!
Spar sort of shakes out his hands like he's shaking the curse off a little bit, and says, "Thank you. That was very kind of you. Mm-hmm. Are you okay? Do you need a nap? Should we?"
No, I mean, yes, I'm okay. No, I don't need a nap.
Okay.
I got 3 successes, which was the amount necessary to not be super wiped after this, so.
Yes, this is very much appreciated.
That felt successful.
Mm-hmm. She nods. Who's on top of the bird? Who's hanging from the bird? Sorry, she wouldn't say the bird. Who's hanging from Kalinda? Who's riding Kalinda?
Spar. Next
to Spar.
Yeah, Spar nods and says, well, it can't be worse than Lunavella. I'll take the claws, talons, feet. He's addressing Kalinda as he like goes through the terms for
Kalinda just tilts her head. Like, oh. So yeah, Kalinda comes down and scoops up Spar. She has a saddle that is big enough for two that Velum and Nat sit on.
Velum probably needs a hand getting up there. I imagine it's a little bit more difficult with his one leg.
Yeah, for sure. I think
Spar probably gives him a boost up before to like get situated.
Yeah.
Be, like picked up last as they start to take off. And Spar will, as much as possible, get Kalinda to grip on or through his harness.
Like armpits? Oh, okay.
Because that's leather and reinforced, and so...
Yes.
Can Sounds take some good. Stress. Yep.
Cool.
So yeah, you guys are about the middle of the second layer of Stoneloft, and the Gatineau Estate is like in the middle of the first layer. So it's like halfway across town. Mm-hmm. And you guys, take off through the sky. Spar, as kind of predicted, this is a familiar feeling, but usually you don't sustain it for this long.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me a yards check, Brawn Biology?
I will think real hard about it. Okay, yes. I am recording from my closet now. I am no longer at a desk, which means that
interesting. It is
a little cramped in here. Okay.
Probably good for audio, bad for essay.
Good for audio, medium for essay, bad for essay's belongings. But frankly, as we have heard in basically every outtake, the desk was also bad for essay's belongings.
That's true. That's
so at true. Least now when I knock shit over, it can only fall about a foot and a half.
Nice.
All right. Brawn is 3, biology is 2, so that is 5, healthy makes 6. Thank you, Solhalla. 1, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1 success. No joker.
Okay, you feel like you have to yards, but you hold it in.
Mm-hmm. There may be, once we land, there may be a discreet trip to some bushes.
Yeah, for sure. About halfway through your journey, can you guys both give me a wit investigation?
Sure. Wit is 4, and investigation is probably 4.
Yeah, you don't know. You don't 4. Know anyone involved.
Sure. So that's 8, 3. And healthy is 9.
Investigation is 2, 1 for healthy.
4 successes from me.
I have 3 successes and a joker.
Okay. I mean, if you'd like to ante the joker, we're at the end of the episode. If not, that's fine.
Then sure, why not?
All right.
Wait, before we commit to anteing it. How much scene is, like, will we land and then have to do something, or will we end basically when we land?
You probably end before you land.
Okay, then yeah, let's go ahead. Because my main concern is I like to save antiing jokers until we're in a fight, because that's when they really fuck us up. So, but if we're good. Then yeah, go, ante.
Alrighty. The joker has been anteed, so we have 7 total successes for scouting. So, I think what happens for this is that, kind of off in the distance, you see some people like scouring at the kind of the part of town you just came from. But what's noteworthy is they are scouring in the air. These people are wearing goggles and these like skin tight like wingsuits.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to say this because I promised Ela that there would be a gnoll in this game soon, because Ela forgot there were canonically gnolls in our world. So one of these guards is a gnoll.
Yay.
And they are basically airbending, which raises a lot of questions about magic and how they're doing it. And yeah, you see these like white tattoos like all over them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like glowing and allowing these people to fly with like airbending plus wingsuit, and they're looking around the town. And you notice this one group keeps flying and landing, and they're actually definitely getting closer to you.
Mm-hmm.
Does Spar point this out to the party?
Yep.
Okay. So Velum, what you notice, you are an expert lip reader. Mm-hmm. So one of these flying people is an elf. And you read his lips as he's saying to the gnoll, "What about the dog?" And the gnoll says, "There's enough people going after the dog." These targets are more highly wanted. Oh, and no. They nod in agreement. And these guards start flying after you. And they start, like, going, like, more directly. They, like, put out their arms behind them and, like, these jets of wind come out. And they, like, start blasting in their direction. And we will deal with them next time on Three of Hearts.
Ah! Oh, no.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monoktola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiveridge as our host. You can chat with all of us and our lovely community in the Discord, linked in the episode description. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can learn more and purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dogtective, our midtro theme is At Last, a Piano, and our outro is Guest Plus Guest. All of these songs are by Louis Song, and they can be found at louisong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon! You can find us at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out. Support us for any price you can afford and receive access to all perks, including gag reels and the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and short stories set in the world of our show. You can also buy individual stories and episodes without being a subscriber if you prefer. Thank you for listening, and remember to have a lovely morning, afternoon, or evening.